You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I am joined, as always, by my book besties, Kim and Christina.
Hi!
Hello!
Oh, I love these nights. I love a book wreck.
These are some of my favorite episodes to record because we just get to be silly and there's not an outline involved.
Yeah.
You know, we can just like hop on, have a glass of wine, shoot the shit.
It's so fun.
It's so fun in our regular lives to talk about the books we're recording for our book club episodes.
Yeah.
But sometimes in between, we just go read these books and it's like, I can't read books and not talk to you about them.
Yeah.
So this is like our time to do that. And so the fact that we have these and we get to have this outlet is just perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's so fun because we have not heard any of the books that we're going to be talking about to each other, and which like never happens, like Christina said. So it's like, oh my God, what are we reading? What are we doing? What are we loving?
We get to like save them for this. It's amazing.
So listeners, this is our Kindle Unlimited book rec episodes. You're probably familiar with them at this point. So these will be spoiler free for the most part. If we're going to give spoilers, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But spoiler free, just like high level, high brow, kind of what we thought of each of these books.
Highbrow. Our thoughts are very highbrow.
It's not highbrow, sorry.
Actually, the opposite, but it's really fun. And that's what matters.
Okay, Kim, kick us off.
So excited.
I'm going to start us off with a fun little cowboy small town romance.
Wow!
That is basically like if the Dutton family were real people and owned a...
Who are the Duttons?
From Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
Oh, I don't watch that.
I don't either, but I know who they
Which
are.
Which is funny because I'm about to use them as a comparison.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
And basically the premise is like, if this family owned a working ranch and then let this production company film on their ranch...
Oh,
and they made a show. It's not called Yellowstone. It's called something really stupid, and I can't remember what it's called, but I've returned the book, and I'm not going to go back and find it. It's called Brokeback Mountain. No, it's not. But I can't remember, but it's something not as cool as Yellowstone. So basically...
What a fun concept.
It's such a fun concept. And I was like, okay, I like this. So this follows the daughter. Her name is Tate Logan, and she is like a photographer. And she is estranged from that entire side of her family. It's her dad's family. Okay. He owns this, thousands of acres. And she knows about the show, obviously. It's like blowing up. And she knows that it's filmed on her family's ranch. But she has not spoken to her dad or his family in like 20 years.
Mm.
And so, of course, her next assignment is that she has to go out to the ranch and take pictures for this like magazine article.
Amazing.
Of course.
Of course. And so she's like, oh, darn it. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go out there. And it's going to be 6 weeks, and I'm not going to get into it with my dad. I'm going to keep it light and tight, easy breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Like
and
that.
I'm just going to bebop in and bebop out. And we're all like, okay.
Sure.
Of course you are, sweetheart. Of course you are. So she rocks up and this guy comes and picks her up, and he actually works at the ranch, but he's so attractive that they actually cast him as an extra in the show. And it. Everyone calls him like Cowboy Thor or something like that because he looks like Chris Hemsworth, but like cowboy.
Love it.
And he's very grumpy, very broody, of course. Very suspicious of her from the get-go. Like, why are you here? Are you trying to, like, mess with the... Because it's, like, obviously, it's a very popular show. And so they have a lot of people try and come to the ranch and, like, just not with not great intentions. It's Hollywood. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's, like, very suspicious of her. She's very, like, I don't want to be here. Please stop giving me attitude. You're very tall and grumpy and brooding. And, like, I'm just here to do my job. And his name is Henry. And so he's, like, the ranch hand, basically. And he's basically... like, your family's amazing. I don't know what your problem is. And she was like, you don't know me. Stop it. And so she shows up and has to take all these pictures, but he breaks her camera the first night, so she can't take pictures.
Of course.
Oh no, what do I want to do? So now she has to just hang out with him until they can get back into town to get a camera.
Okay.
Because she only brought the one, even though she's a professional photographer. She just brought one.
I was like, where's the other ones?
Nope, not the backup? Here. Not around. Doesn't have it. Just the one.
Okay.
And they live in the middle of nowhere. So it's not like there's like a Nikon store that they can just pop to for another camera.
No Best Buy.
Right.
No, but there's no Best Buy. So that's basically the premise of the story. She's there. And Tara DeWitt, I talked about one of her other books in another BookRex episode. She wrote a story called Funny Feelings, which is about like a female comedian falling in love with her tour manager.
I remember you talking about that one.
I really liked this book. It was a little more, it had like a real plot. You know, it wasn't all just like getting us in between spy scenes. Like there was spice, but I would say it's like maybe a 2 out of 5. I don't know. Spice is hard. It's hard because like sometimes I'll see things that I'm like, that's not
spice
right.
Spice is hard. Yeah. 2 for me is like at least 1 open door scene.
Yes. It's open door. It just isn't like as, no, graphic's not the right word, but I don't know the other word to use. Maybe as descriptive.
That's a good, like, I know what you mean.
Our Unravel Me, Our Play With Me, Elsie Silver. Yes.
Descriptive is, describing the parts in a descriptive way. You know, that's a good,
it's
like,
hot and like it's spicy, but it was nothing like, oh my God. It wasn't super intense and like descriptive, but it was still
plot forward.
Thank you, Anna. And so the story is about her kind of like coming to terms with why her dad has been estranged for so long.
Okay.
And it kind of reminds me of like, you've all read Book Lovers by Emily Henry, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So you know how Emily Henry kind of does like a more serious topic within her romances? Not heavy, but just more serious.
Yes.
Book Lovers was like their relationship with her sister and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Kind of reminded me a little bit of that, where it wasn't like super silly, like some of our romances can be.
Right.
Yes.
Not dark, not heavy. There's no like trigger warnings or anything. I mean, her ex-husband cheated on her, but I don't think that is upsetting because he's gone and he sucks. But I really liked it. I thought it was sweet. And I think if you like cowboy romances and you want something like that, I mean, again, I hold the level is like Chestnut Springs is like my...
That's the bar.
And I just have yet to find something that really beats that. But This was still really sweet, really good. I would say like 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Just a good, solid cowboy romance. I thought the premise was really interesting.
The premise sounds really fun.
Right?
Yeah, I love that. It lends itself to some like fun scenes, like funny scenes.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, because the whole family's involved with the production of the show. They're not in the show, but they're like involved in it. So that was interesting. And I don't know. It was cute. It was fun.
Love it.
Fun for summer. That was Rootbound by Tara DeWitt.
Rootbound.
And I would also recommend Funny Feelings by her. I believe that's also on KU.
Okay.
And I'm going to do my second cowboy romance and then we'll switch over to someone else. But this one, which I really want you guys to read.
Okay.
This is Holding the Reins by Paisley Hope, which is her first book in the Silver Pines Ranch series.
Okay.
Ooh, love all those words you just said.
I know. This is a hockey cowboy romance.
Shut your mouth.
Ooh, it's like Jasper.
Yes, it's like Jasper.
You shut your
it's
mouth.
It's like Jasper.
Jasper!
I loved that
so
one.
So this book follows Cece, and she has recently just come back home to her family. They own like an equestrian ranch in a small town. And she's just ended like a long-term relationship. Nash Carter is a recently retired hockey player. And he has moved back home.
Okay.
He's like the hometown hero. He's retired. He's only like 30 because hockey players, I guess, you know, they just get beat up.
Right.
And so he's like, I'm just going to come back home and open this really sweet hockey rink for all of the youths in the town. And I'm going to be a coach and I'm going to be...
What a sweetheart.
Just such a sweetheart. And he's like a notorious bachelor. Everybody loves him. And he is very close with Cece's family. He's like the unofficial fourth sibling in their family.
Did he grow up with them? Like he's...
He did.
Okay.
He did. He grew up with them. There's brothers and I think she's she's the only girl.
Okay.
And then it's Nash. And he is very, like, stereotypical, just alpha, possessive, brooding. He growls and, you know.
He growls.
We love a growl.
Me too.
We love a growler. And so immediately she walks back into town and he's like, well, shit, I want her.
Of course.
As it happens,
like literally she walks in. Oh, he also owns a bar, because of course.
Oh,
and
also
so she walks into the bar and she's like, I'm back. And he's like, I want you. Hot. Even though they grew up kind of together. He's older than her. He's like 4 or 5 years older. So she was like the younger, you know, little girl running around after them. And he was like, nope, you're hot now. And I want you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they do that whole like flirting thing. And then they start like maybe hooking up and they're like, but I don't want a relationship, so it's just gonna be sex, right? And he's like, absolutely, I don't do relationships. Never. Sex one time. I love you. Basically, yeah. He starts getting really alpha possessive. Not like too much, but yeah. I mean, just, you know. We're not reinventing the wheel here, people. You know what I'm saying?
We're not bringing
anything new to the table, but it's just, it's what we all love.
Exactly. You know? It's what we're here for. It's what we're there
You're
for.
You're speaking my language. I'm very into this.
It is so good. It's steamy. It's definitely
okay.
It's like our type of steam. Yes. It is so funny. So she's an accountant and she comes back home. She's like, well, I need a job because I just left my, I left everything I've ever known.
Casually.
And he's like, oh, great. My hockey rink needs an accountant.
Oh, fantastic.
What do you know?
And she's like, perfect. From day one, this accountant starts planning a community event, takes over their social media.
So she's like marketing, maybe?
She's like marketing, communication, social media.
Yeah.
Also an EA.
Also an EA, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she's like, well, I need Mondays off to hang out with my siblings. And he's like, okay.
Cool.
And he's like, how about this salary? Gives her like mid six-figure salary for working 4 days a week.
In a small town hockey rink.
In a small town hockey rink where she plans like a community event to raise money.
Oh, the dream.
I was like, it's fine. Like, we are just shutting our brain off. Nothing about that makes sense.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. But it's very steamy. It's very, like, you know, it's not forbidden, really, but it's forbidden because it's
brothers, friends.
All the brothers are very protective of her. And sure. Like, hey, Nash, look out for her. Obviously, nobody notices him, like, touching her lower back and, like, growling in her ear. Everyone's like, oh, yep, that's totally fine. They're just friends. Nope. Everyone does that.
They work together. This must be about work.
Yeah.
The growling must be about work, obviously. Her community event that she's planning is...
It's growler, you know?
And it's late nights, and obviously his truck is parked at her little cabin because they're working. They're working.
Why? Of course, they're working.
What else would they be doing, Kimberly?
They're busy.
They are busy.
Wow, booked and busy.
It is just very stereotypical. She's very feisty, very sassy. He's very alpha. But, like, you know what?
Yeah.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. And it's not broken.
It works for a reason.
It works for a reason, yes. There is some hockey, but I wouldn't say it's like, it's our level of sports.
Yeah.
It's not like a hockey romance in that there's hockey, but like, he did play hockey.
Right. And so. And they work at the rink. There's not like the big game at the end or anything.
Not really, no. Maybe at the community event.
Yeah, they work at the hockey rink. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's hockey.
Exactly. It's a hockey cowboy romance. We're putting it together.
Yes.
That's right. There's a little bit of cowboying and a little bit of hockey and a lot of steam.
Those are the ingredients, really,
we need. Great time.
Yeah.
So that is Holding the Reins by Paisley Hope. I think it's going to be a Chestnut Springs thing where there are more books about each of the siblings because I think there's four.
I'm adding this to my list.
You got to add it. It is so fun for
this
summer.
This sounds right up my alley.
Agreed. Perfect summer. All the ingredients we need.
Yes. All the tropes, all the, like, you know, things that we just love and eat up with a spoon.
Yeah.
So y'all need to read
love
it.
Love that, Kim.
I need to know your thoughts. Holding the Reins, Paisley Hope. Put it on your TBR.
It's on there. Okay, Anna.
I mean, this is a great segue into mine because I'm going to talk about Wild Love by Elsie Silver.
Yay!
So I have been... Christina, did you finish it?
I did not, no.
Okay, oh my God. This is, y'all, this is my favorite book she's written.
Wow.
Heartless has, like, held the candle.
Uh-huh.
And then Ford said, hold my beer.
Wow.
It is chef's kiss, no notes, like 10 out of 10. Literally,
wow.
I can't think of a scene in here that I didn't like, a moment I didn't love. So I'm going to quickly read the little, whatever it's called, the summary.
Yes.
For those of us who aren't familiar, although I feel like most people are. But okay, she has been driving him wild for years. The good kind of wild. The kind of wild that comes with wanting your best friend's little sister and knowing you can't have her. Forbes may have labeled Ford Grant the world's hottest billionaire, but all he cares about is escaping the press and opening a recording studio in gorgeous small town Rose Hill. Something that comes to a screeching halt when he ends up face to face with a young girl who claims he's her biological father. Now he spends his days balancing business with parenting a sullen 12-year-old, all while trying desperately to keep his hands the hell off his best friend's sister, Rosie Belmont. Mm. Then Rosie, after living in the city, Rosie came blasting back into town like a storm, beautiful, messy, and chaotic. And one wide-eyed, desperate plea for a job is all it takes for Ford to hire her. He vows to keep her at arm's length, tries to stick to scowls and grumpy one-liners, but with her, verbal sparring is a type of foreplay. Mm. Friction that soon turns to a blistering heat. Ford knows damn well he shouldn't cross the line, but shouldn't and can't are two very different things.
Ooh.
Okay. I cannot, like, this book, I wanted to have put so many quotes. I wanted to read so many to you guys because it's just so beautiful. It's classic Elsie Silver.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend starting with her Chestnut Springs books. We're not going to get into them all, but skip book one, start with book two, which is Heartless. If you want to after book two, I think you can totally come and read this one because it follows the main female character in book two is Willa Grant.
Yeah.
And this spinoff series follows, or this specific book follows her older brother, Ford.
Okay.
So.
Oh,
this is Willa's brother.
This is Willa's big brother.
I have read half this book and I didn't put that together.
The Grants are like a very wealthy family. Their dad was a, I think like, I don't know, John Mellencamp, like a big musician star.
Yes.
Got it.
And they've been raised in the limelight and Ford has decided, like he runs a media record company. He does his own thing. Like his parents, like yes, he's raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he really has built it from the ground up. And Rosie is like the small town girl that when he and his family, they owned like a summer house and they would come out and see each other. And he is best friends with West. And West is getting book two. And that's Rosie's big brother. And Rosie and Ford just have the most, it's that like verbal sparring, like she says, that's like foreplay, where it is so, there's no hate or like ill intent. It's just this like poking fun.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In a way that is so heartwarming and like fun to read.
One of the first things I said to you when I started this book, and I'm so excited, I'm going to finish it tonight. But yeah. Like, one of the first things I said to you was I was like, this banter feels different than other banter I've read. It,
yes.
Oh.
It reads like so realistic. And also what they're saying to each other isn't kind, but the way she writes it feels like you just read so, it's so deeply, like, yes. This history, like, I don't know, the way she writes their banter is really, really interesting.
There's so much clear, like, love and trust between them. And I said this, okay, so it's the brother's best friend, right? And West is a good guy. And there's that idea of him and Ford are best friends. And like, why would you have an asshole as your best friend and like not trust him with your sister?
Yeah.
Do you know? And so like, and I love that because there is this aspect of like, can I have Rosie? He's my best friend. I don't want to upset that dynamic. And someone says to him, it might be Willa actually, because Willa shows up in the book. But when somebody says to Ford, why would West be mad that you're with his sister when you are the best friend he's ever had, the person he trusts the most? Wouldn't you think he'd want his sister to be with somebody like you?
Yes.
I know you rarely get that. I feel like there's a lot of the angry big brother or and you don't really get that in this book. It's a really like well-rounded, beautiful way of telling the story. There's still that kind of like, oh, brother's best friend, but also nobody's really mad at each other. I don't know. It's just, it's different.
Yeah. Feels more realistic too.
Yeah.
And Rosie was very relatable. She's in a very long-term relationship. And like the way it's described is like, we're we're not in love. He's just my roommate, my best friend. And I was like, I've been there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You've with somebody for so long, you're comfortable, they're your roommate, but you're not in love anymore.
Yeah.
And she's going through a breakup, something happens at work, and she goes to small town to kind of escape and reset, and she feels like a failure because she's having to kind of give up all of these big dreams that she's had. Mm-hmm. And Ford is there for her. She like asks for a job and he says yes. And one of the things that she comes to realize is that through all of their bickering and all of their years of growing up together, he never says no to her. Mm. When she needs a ride in the middle of the night, like in high school, he's there to pick her up. Mm. When she needs help with something, he's there. When she gets scared when they were little in the dark, he holds her hand.
Oh, so sweet.
So you have this built, and then there's this diary involved. She writes in a diary since she was little, and one night she got like really upset and chucked it out a window. And then like one day on her desk at work, the diary's on the desk.
Oh.
And you know the only person in the car that saw her throw it out the window was Ford. Like, he was driving the car.
Yeah.
And then there's also these, like, funny things where, like, they're writing emails back and forth. And there's, like, Elsie Silver's so great, the text messages, you know, in Chestnut Springs.
Yes.
So in this, it's the emails. And she's trying to be really professional about her job. And so she sends him, like, you know, short emails asking things. And he's very curt. And she's like, would it kill you to, like, put a little nice signature at the end?
Yes.
And so he ends every single email is like, have a happy day! All exclamation points. So even when he's demanding something, he's like, have a happy day. And there's like Harry Potter jokes. They start through the emails having this banter, and she's like business manager at Death Eater Records, and then he signs off like CEO Tom Riddle. Like,
I love
there's
that.
Just like these great back and forth. So he also has his daughter, so he donated sperm to a sperm bank, and this family uses sperm, and he has this daughter named Cora. So this is all in the beginning. Her father passes away, she shows up at the door, and her mom is like severely depressed and has to be like committed, basically. And she's like, I have no living family, and they're going to send me to a home unless I can come stay with a family member, and you're the only blood relation I have. So like, can I stay with you? I was like nervous how this dynamic was going to play out and like how it was going to work, but it was really, really well done. Like, at no point does he try to take the place of her father. But she's a child who's had to grow up really fast because her father was really, really sick her whole life. And so she's like, from a young age, she never really got to be a child. She was always a caregiver with her mom. And so there's all these little things like roasting s'mores that she never got to do. And so he like takes her to do that. And so he's so like, sweet. You have his inner monologue of, I don't want to replace her dad, but I can also show her the fun things about being a kid that she never got to do.
Yeah.
And so there's really good balance. And Cora is, you know, listeners, how we get upset with characters who are not written for their age. Like a baby who
unravel me
with the baby and whatever.
Oh, the genius.
Speaking at a 5-year-old level.
Yeah. Cora's like a typical preteen. She's snarky and sassy. She likes to wear all black. But she's also, there's like these moments where you see the inner child in her where she's like innocent and sweet, and she's clearly just putting on a front. And Rosie does such a good job of bringing that out of her. They become friends, and, you know, Rosie wears all pink. She's like bright and bubbly. And then Cora's like the little dark cloud. I think she actually calls her my little thunder cloud or something like that. Like my little dark cloud.
That's so cute.
Cora's like, well, like, what if I wanted to wear pink? And Rosie's like, well, you can rock pink. Like anybody can rock pink. And she gives her pink scrunchie. And then Cora never stops wearing it.
So cute.
And it's just like these, like, such a sweet.
That's so sweet.
I don't know. I just, guys, the book was, oh God, and the spice. Y'all, the spice is so good.
Okay, are we saying you like him better than Theo Silva?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing is that book was really good. I loved Theo. Like, Theo as a dad is very different.
Yeah.
But same as Kate as a dad.
True.
Because Theo is with a baby.
Yeah.
True.
And there's like something that just tugs at your ovaries when you see that.
Yeah.
But the spice in Theo's book was not on par. I didn't think it was as good as Cade's book.
Agreed.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
In Heartless. And I think the spice in this is just as good as Heartless. Like, it's neck and neck. There's one scene in particular where I've never read a scene like this, and it was so hot.
You've never
read a scene
this? Like, it was just, I don't want to spoil it. There's the
I don't want to know.
I haven't read it yet.
Anna's never read a scene like this.
It's not like something super, super kinky. It's just he utilizes something, and he does it in a way that I was like not prepared for. And it was so...
Utilizing.
I mean, something. Christina, I don't know where you are in the book, but...
Oh, I'm like 16.
Oh, okay. Then you're not there.
Yeah.
It was very hot.
Oh my God, I am so excited to read this.
Me too.
It was like a very, I don't know, he like dirty talks in just the right way. It's so hot.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to read
it's
this.
It's so good. It's so good. And then when it's his POV is when her boyfriend, she keeps trying to break up with him in person, but he won't come visit her. And so finally he shows up and it's his POV and he keeps calling him fuck boy, like under his breath. And Cora's right there. And Cora is very in tune with the fact that these two like each other. She like locks him in a closet at one point together. It's super funny. And she's like, oh you God, keep fighting. You like each other. Don't come out until you agree.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
She like sees the ex-boyfriend and she just walks by and he's standing in her way and she's like, move it, fuck boy. And Rosie like spits out her water and Ford is like, in his head, he's like, that's my girl.
Aww. So cute.
It's just really great. That. It's just, I don't know. I love it. There's so many great, I highlighted so many quotes in this book that are just so beautiful. It's just great. It's classic Elsie Silver. It's a great small town billionaire romance. It checks all the boxes. Mm-hmm. I cannot recommend this book enough. I want to reread it. That's how much fun I had reading it the first time.
Okay, fun.
Love.
I want to wait to read it this summer and maybe you can reread it with me.
Oh, I would. Yes, I'll just reread it with you just so I can like talk to you about it.
Okay, fun. Okay.
Okay, fun.
That was Wild Love by Elsie Silver.
Cannot love wait. That. Love
okay,
that.
Okay, Christina.
Okay, so I'm just going to keep going on our small town theme. I have something different, but I'm just going to keep going, okay?
I love that we have this. Like, we did not plan this.
Did not plan it at
no.
all.
No, my other one's different, and I was gonna mix it up, but no, let's just keep going on our train.
Keep going.
So, oh, guys, I've been so excited to talk about this.
I can't wait.
Okay, listeners, if you are longtime listeners, you know that I am all for, I usually call them my bodyguard romances or private security romances.
Oh, yeah, you're very into
the
this.
The actual technical term for this genre is romantic suspense. So that's the actual term for the genre.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually sillily call them that, but really what it means is it's a romance-driven, dramatic book where there's also, like, danger dashed in.
I love it.
Someone's from the past is coming back. There's a serial killer. She needs to be protected for some reason, and it happens.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's romantic suspense in general. I'm a big fan of the genre.
Yeah.
Somehow, I have never read this author, and I did, and my life has changed. Okay, so.
What is the book?
I am going to be speaking about Catherine Coles. Catherine with a C. Last name is Coles, also with a C.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking about her Lost and Found series.
Okay.
But when I tell you, in the past, like, I don't know, month, I have read 9 books by her.
Are you serious?
9?
9. 9.
And guys, Christina is the slowest reader out of the three of us. So that is like, that's a lot of, I've read 9 books this year.
Yeah, 9. Well, no, maybe 2 months, but like it's
a lot.
Wow, Christina.
So when I tell you this is my specific version of catnip, like it is like made for
it's me. Your catnip.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love this romantic suspense genre and that it's, I don't know what it says about me, but I need the like, oh, she needs to be protected. He's like, I've got you. It's there's a lot of always, you know, there's always something with that.
Yeah.
But Catherine Coles puts that in like a small town romance.
Okay.
Location. Locale. Sure. Story. So it's very, it's pretty much picture like Elsie Silver.
Okay.
But instead of that spice, there is spice, but it's more like romance spice. They're like making love instead of doing dirty things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So instead of the spice, there's like danger.
I'm so into this.
Okay.
Yes.
No, yes.
So
I love this.
Why have I never, this is crazy because I love thrillers and I don't know why I've never
Kim,
mixed
you would
them.
Love this.
See, this is why I like my mafia books because it's like suspense danger. And there's things danger and there's things happening and he's got to save her, but then there's the dirty side.
Yeah.
Yes. There's always the danger, but it's just so romance driven. This is like different than our regular romances. There's no calm. It's just rom. I mean, there's maybe some comedy, but it's like, we're really romance. It's drama.
Sure.
Right. Okay. So the Lost and Found series is very small town. Mm-hmm. It's adorable. It's so cute. It's the set of siblings and there's 5 books. So I'm not going to tell you about each individual book. What I'm going to do is tell you like the name of it and the major trope from it.
Okay.
We'll just run through. Okay.
Love that.
So Lost and Found series. First one is Whispers of You. And this one's like a really cute second chance. He comes back. It's like a whole second chance romance.
Love it.
Number 2 is Echoes of You.
Uh-huh.
This one's also childhood, but like friends to lovers. They're like, oh, we're just friends. And like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Glimmers of You. This is next. This is Brother's Best Friend and also fake dating. This one really worked for me.
Oh, I love those two.
Also, keep in mind, all these have danger.
Love it.
Love this.
Number 4, Shadows of You. Guys, this one is so good. Okay, so this is like, picture like Grumpy Sunshine. Uh-huh. But she is a single mom to this really cutie daughter. Uh-huh. And he is like, the whole town thinks he's a grump. They're like, oh, not him. He's just a grump that sticks to himself. But all of a sudden, through a sequence of events, see him like with her daughter. And he's just this teddy bear of a sweetie sweetheart. And is this whole other person that she's like, oh my God, who is this?
Yeah.
And so that's their dynamic. Okay.
Love it.
And then last one is Ashes of You, which is single dad. He has 3 sons and she's his nanny, but they like kind of have a past, but they don't realize the past. And they're like, what? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And that one in particular kind of reminded me a little bit of when I started Wild Love. I remember thinking that I was like, oh, this reminds me of Ashes of You in the way that when I started Ashes of You, I was like, I'm not super used to a single dad or single parent romance with a teenager or like a preteen.
Okay, got it.
In my head, I am like thinking of it as a toddler or a baby, you know?
Yes,
right. And he has twin 16-year-old boys and like a 6-year-old boy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So I started, and when I read Ashes of You, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm super into this moody teenage boys.
Yeah.
I don't really know if this is going to work for me. And when I tell you, I don't know if this really isn't a spoiler, but getting to see that dynamic change with her coming into their life and, you know, there's danger. And those boys then being like the moodiest, broodiest boys, then being like, oh my God, is she okay? And like breaking down and crying and like running to her.
Aww.
Those moments are like so much more impactful. And it was really, really cool. And I remember when I started Wild Love being like, oh my gosh, and Cora is this, oh my gosh, she's in the kind of weird age range.
Yeah, totally. She's a preteen, yeah.
But oh my gosh, how cool to get to see this little person becoming a person like with these influences. Yeah,
that's not a baby, that's like their
own and they're person. Observant in a way that adds to the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than just being like a little prop.
Yes, exactly.
They like contribute and move the plot along in a lot of ways.
Exactly, they are a character.
When it's done right.
Exactly.
Totally.
Okay, so yes, those 5 books are in the Lost and Found series.
Okay.
By Catherine Coles. I highly recommend them. I read them so fast. I'm currently in her Wrecked series, which I'm also enjoying. I would recommend these to anyone who loves romantic suspense.
Okay.
I would recommend reading them slower than I did because now they kind of all blur together.
Okay.
Because if you read them all really fast, they are a little formulaic because that's just what they are.
Right. But that's okay. Are they fast reads?
They are fast reads. They're a little heavier. Like there are some darker themes, some traumas worked through.
Right.
So I would check trigger warnings.
Sure.
I think they're well written. I think the writing is really good. I would compare the writing to Elsie Silver. The situations they get in are over the top.
Sure.
Because
of course.
What it is.
Because it's the suspense romance genre. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's dangling over a cliff. You know, things are happening.
That happens in real life.
You know?
The plane is going down.
Yes.
They survive.
It's fine. They hook up.
But she is a revenge-seeking ex lurking in the shadows. It's just what happens, you know?
Listen, don't we all? You know what I mean? Don't we all? I mean, I don't know, but maybe I do. I mean,
didn't you go to college? That's what college is for.
That's what college is. It's revengeful ex stalking you.
I just loved it. I am breezing through these. I love them so much. I feel like she's one of my new romantic suspense favorite authors, and it's just really working for me.
I love that.
Yes, that is the Lost and Found series by Catherine Coles. I will most likely in our next KU Rex talk about her Rex series. We'll just do a series.
Yes.
I love this. If you want something just so romantic and you're just digging into the drama and the romance.
This sounds so fun. I mean, fun in like a suspenseful, like...
Yes.
Entertaining.
This is like a step down from my mafia.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not that there's not spice. Like, they do... That does happen. It's open door, but it's not as... It's more like a culmination of their love. It's more romantic than it is, like, spicy. Yeah.
Would you say it's, like... Elsie Silver, I feel like, is plot forward, but has really good spice. Like, it's descriptive.
Yeah, it's less, like, get on your knees on the porch, and more, like, let's make love, and I'll tell you how beautiful you are in a bed.
Got it.
Got it. I love
it's
that.
It's not like things don't happen, but it's more like making love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good way of phrasing it.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So that is Lost and Found by Catherine Coles.
Love it.
The whole series.
Can't wait to
read
it.
Love it.
Okay, Anna.
Okay, so I read Wild Love, and then I felt like I was kind of in my small town cowboy ranch romance era, let's just say.
As we all were.
Yeah,
clearly. Like, clearly, we all were. Not planned again. But that's all I wanted to read after Wild Love. And I kept trying to recreate it.
Oh.
It was a lot of swings and misses. Well, okay, so I'll go with the one I liked first. Alive and Wells by Bailey Hanna. It's rated 4 stars on Goodreads. This was like a 3 for me.
Okay.
You know, Cecily is escaping a domestic abuse type situation from her husband, and she basically runs away to this ranch that's owned by a woman who also escaped domestic violence when she was younger, and she basically like runs kind of like an underground railroad for women escaping a domestic violence, and it's like an escape route. You call her, she sets it up, mm-hmm. you get to her, and then she gives you a job, you live there while you get on your feet. Aww. It's like a safe house.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Cecily like enters Wells Ranch, and Austin Wells is very, very grumpy. Like, I'll just read this to you. Okay, so the last place city girl Cecily Kennedy expected to end up was a cattle ranch, but she needs a job, a refuge from her abusive soon-to-be ex-husband. If only her new boss, Austin Wells, would make it clear whether he hates her or wants her. Oh. His gaze makes her feel things she hasn't in years, though getting over her ex by getting under her grumpy boss isn't worth the potential fallout. Austin's a gruff, no-nonsense rancher who's seriously regretting letting his head cook hire her own help. As far as he's concerned, Cecily won't be sticking around for long. Nobody ever stays. And the wedding ring and indent still on her finger makes her more trouble than she's worth. Oh. Okay, so he has his own past trauma, if you can't catch from that little thing about nobody ever stays.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to run off some tropes. So it's like small town, heroin on the run. He's a rancher. He hates being called a cowboy.
Okay.
Oh. She's feisty. A city girl. It's close proximity. Grumpy sunshine. There's lots of great dirty talk. No third act breakup. And, like, found family.
Love.
Okay.
So it's very heavy on the ranching life. The author, like, explicitly states in the beginning that she did her research, and it's very accurate. There's cattle rounding up. There's the searing. I don't know what it's called. When
branding.
You're...
branding.
Branding. Thank you. See? I'm a city girl. The branding of... I'm Cecily.
The branding.
I am Cecily.
I am Cecily.
She's me.
Yeah. But there's, you know, Christina, to your end, there's this, like, suspenseful aspect to it because her ex-husband is alive and well. And he's an asshole, and he has a lot of money, and she has nothing. Oh. And he's looking for her. And so there's this suspenseful aspect.
Yeah. She needs to be protected.
Yes, Austin is, like, protecting her. He's grumpy. He's, you know, begrudgingly. She had this grand idea when she was little of, like, she wanted backyard with lilac bushes and everything when she got married. And then they planted the bushes, and now all the lilac smells to her. Like, it makes her nauseous because all she can think about is her abusive ex-husband. And he tells her that. And there's lilac bushes on the yard. And then the next morning she wakes up and all of the bushes are gone. Aww. And his brother's like, we've been robbed. Like, somebody took the lilac bushes. And he's just sitting there eating his dinner. And he's like, sit down. No, no, we weren't robbed.
Took the lilac bushes.
The prize winning lilacs.
He's like, the prize winning lilacs have been taken.
We won't win yard of the month now.
Damn it all to hell.
Damn it.
Training for so long.
So there's like these sweet moments. It's a classic grumpy sunshine. After Wild Love, it like scratched the itch. It was not as good. It's a solid 3. There is spice. It's very open door. Mm-hmm. But the spice was like a little prosaic sometimes. Like it was too...
prosaic.
I don't know if prosaic is not the right... It was a little bit too... like it was gonna be dirty talk, and then all of a sudden he would like say something and I was like, oh, that's too flowery. Like it was too much. So the spice was a good, but it wasn't my favorite.
Okay.
But it was fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about. Okay, so we read that one. I was like, okay, we're on a roll. I'm trying to do the small town romance thing. It wasn't working. The Bailey Hanna Alive and Wells was fine, but it wasn't scratching that itch. So I was like, you know what? I've had Sovereign by Rhea Morris Edwards downloaded for, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months.
Okay. That doesn't sound like a small town romance.
Well, it is.
Oh, really?
But yes. So Sovereign by Rhea Morris Edwards is a small town mountain.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ranching romance, but it is a dark mountain small town romance.
Okay.
clearly, I was like, I think I need to make a little switcheroo.
Yeah, a little switcheroony.
A little switcheroo. Need to go back to my roots.
Go back to your roots, baby.
So here we go. Okay, it is about, it's 4 stars on Goodreads.
Okay.
This is the premise. I have to have her. I've been alone for so long, I never thought I would want to change that. But when I saw her, I knew she was meant to be mine. And now that her husband is gone, it's time to make my move. I've never felt like this about anyone. I want her everything, her body, her mind, her soul, and I'll do whatever it takes to make her my submissive. It's a dom sub thing. Okay. I'll keep her safe, forgive her debts, and make everyone who's ever hurt her pay. All I need is her name on that dotted line. Set against the sweeping backdrop of northern Montana in winter, Sovereign is the perfect spicy love story for dark romance readers. Kira Garrison has never known affection from her husband. After being tricked into giving up her family ranch, she finds herself lost and miserable in an unhappy marriage. And one night, she meets the arresting Gerard Sovereign, her husband's rival and the owner of the biggest cattle ranch in Montana. I know, Gerard, don't even get me started.
Gerard.
Okay. Tragedy strikes. Kira finds herself widowed and alone, unprotected from her late husband's brothers, who will stop at nothing to take the land she inherited. With nowhere to go and no one to turn to, Kira finds herself at the mercy of Sovereign. He's handsome, mysterious, dangerous, and hiding secrets that will turn her world upside down. Okay.
Oh. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
This was fun, different. I had to change my thinking.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys, listeners, if you've been with us long enough, when I read the Pucking Wrong Number book, right, the dark hockey romance, that was a big epic fail.
The first one, yeah.
When I started reading this, I was thinking it's small town, it's a rancher, and I was like coming out of Wild Love and these other sweet small town romances.
Okay.
And I had to switch my brain into like dark romance mind, okay?
Okay.
But here's the thing about Sovereign that I think is different than other dark romances. Usually the ones I love are like, they treat the woman like a queen. The dark deeds are on the side, right?
Okay. Yes.
And that's with this one. He is so obsessed with her. He thinks she's beautiful. He loves every inch of her. He worships her. She's been so belittled and verbally abused. You see it in the first chapter with her ex-husband, her dead husband. And her husband, Clint, was just so mean and like made her stand in the corner with her head down and like, you know, just kind of wait on all the men. And that's in like the first chapter. And Sovereign is in the room and it's the first time he sees her. And he's like, not okay with it.
Yeah.
And the next day, her husband dies.
Oh! That's what you meant by with her husband.
Got it.
It takes her quite a while to like put two and two together.
I mean, honestly, sounds like he deserved it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the thing. So this is a dark romance, but her husband's family groomed her because she was 16 when she moved in with them. And when the day she turned 18, her husband's family had her marry her husband, the guy that she ends up marrying, and then they took all of her family's land. She bequeathed it all to them because she was 18 years old. She didn't, and then she's been with him for like 4 or 5 years, and he's just been verbally abusive. It's never crossed a physical line, but it's verbally abusive.
Yeah.
And like emotionally, he puts her down. It's so mean.
Yeah.
And you find out Sovereign has a past with this family. There's a reason why they're rivals, and it's really awful. It's so sad, the backstory of the family and what they did to Sovereign and his family.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're rooting for him to like off everybody.
Yeah. You're like,
go for it.
Bye.
Kill him.
It's like watching a movie where he's like the anti-hero, but you want him to get his revenge.
Right.
Of course, so that's the dark aspect of it. I was very on board with it.
For sure.
The way I would describe it, it's like Yellowstone, but mafia.
Ooh, I love that.
Instead of having like, you know, fast cars and racing through the city with like a shootout in a warehouse, you're riding horses hard in the mountains and there's pine trees whipping, but you're chasing the bad guy.
That's so fun.
Really, really fun. But I will also say, please check the trigger warnings. This book is very, very heavy in the BDSM lifestyle. Mm. He is a very traditional dom. Contracts are in place for safe, like all of the safety things. She says, do not use this as a playbook for the BDSM lifestyle. I don't partake in the BDSM lifestyle, so I will agree with her on that one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've read a lot of Ronnie Lauren books, and I feel like Ronnie Lauren does that lifestyle very, very well.
Uh-huh.
And I think this one, because it's a dark romance first, I would just keep that in mind while you're reading it.
Okay.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I finished it early this morning, so I could talk about it tonight. And there's also really good imagery. She paints the backdrop of Montana and like the lawlessness of the Wild West.
Ooh.
At one point says, I make the laws here. You steal my cattle, I shoot first, ask questions later. And like no one's going to question where you're buried.
Which is very Yellowstone.
Very Yellowstone.
Yeah. Yes. That's the thing. It's like very Yellowstone meets, I mean, it's not 50 Shades, but if that's like the classic thing we have to describe it to.
Right.
Yes.
But just this quote, and then I'm done. She goes, he might not be evil, but he's not good either. He's a lot like the wilderness surrounding us tonight. Placid, breathtaking on the surface, wild and harsh, deadly underneath. And then she follows up with, if I love him, I have to love every part of him. And that includes his darkness and desire for justice, no matter how bloody the consequences. If I want to love this complicated, scarred man and everything that came with him, I have to be able to accept his past. I don't know. I really love it. I love the juxtaposition of the beginning of the book where she's in this submissive role with her abusive husband, and then juxtaposing it to how she finds herself and she struggles with, like, she actually really enjoys being a submissive, but she feels like she shouldn't because she was submissive to her ex-husband.
Right.
And then learning that it's really more about how she feels so safe with him and she trusts him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she loves him so deeply and he loves her and he would never hurt her beyond what she wants in, like, a scene. So it was small town. It was rough and, like, dirty with the ranching. And
It feels like your mafia romance is mixed with small town.
It was all of those things. Perfect.
I love that.
So that was Sovereign by Rhea Morris Edwards. It's book one. I'm guessing she's writing a book two, but that's the only one that's out right now.
Okay. We are doing some, like, very fun mashups tonight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a very fun mashup for us.
Give it to us.
This is my last book that I'm going to talk about, and this is the most unique premise for a romance rom-com that I've ever read. So it is called Off the Hook by Julie Olivia.
Okay.
And it is like a small town rom-com mixed with a loose, like, Hook and Wendy of Peter Pan retelling.
What?
Kim.
She's writing a series. It's called the Never Harbor series. So instead of Neverland, it's Never Harbor.
Oh, obsessed.
Okay.
So stay with me here. Stay with me, people. So this is like if Peter Pan and Hook were brothers and Wendy was in love with Peter Pan and they broke up.
Oh.
And Hook is like,
does Hook get the girl?
Hook's bad boy.
Maybe. Yeah, I love this.
Okay, so there is a Peter and a Wendy.
Okay.
It's not like every single thing. When I say loose, it's small town romance.
Inspired by.
It's inspired by, but there are such fun little, I call them Easter eggs because I'm a Swiftie, but there are little things that she pulls from the original Peter Pan story that because we all know it, you'll pick up on it, but it's not distracting. You could read it and not think about Peter Pan and it would be a full story in and of its own. But it makes it so fun because it's the story that, like, we grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
So it follows. So there is a Wendy. Her name is Wendy Darling. And she was engaged to Peter. His name is not Peter Pan. It's Peter Davies. And he owns this bar that is like a treehouse.
I want to go there.
It sounds very fun.
He doesn't want to grow up, though.
He doesn't want to grow up. Yeah. And he just wants to have a good time. And he wants to go off on this next adventure. And so she ends things with him because he just is, he's a child. He's like Peter Pan. Yeah. He never wants to grow up. And so Jasper is the eldest brother, Hook. He is a captain. He does something with the sea and the harbor. And I don't know any more than that because I wasn't paying attention. And he is a guardian of a little boy named Sam. And it was his best friend's child. And they died at sea. And so this is kind of like his, it's not a villain origin story because he's not a villain. He's just a grumpy older brother. But it, again, there's like these parallels that are just so, I was just really impressed with the way that she pulled things in because it sounds cheesy and cringy, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not silly.
Right.
I'll list out some things and you'll be like, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that. But it's done in a way that's really, really good. So he's a guardian of a little boy named Sam. That's his godson. And Sam's parents drowned at sea. They were like researchers, science. And that's all I remember. So he is Sam's guardian. And so Sam calls him Captain because Jasper is, he's like a captain. Yeah. He runs a bunch of ships and he has a scar on his hand, a huge scar on his hand, like a hook. And he has a hook tattoo on his forearm.
Of course.
And you find out what the scar was from and why the tattoo. So just as a fun backstory, I didn't read much for fun in high school and college, but when I graduated and got like a big girl job, I started reading again, and one of the things I read was, that was when fairy tale retellings were like
huge.
Yeah. They were like blowing up. And that was kind of what got me back into like fantasy. Okay. So it's just really fun to see. I just love that like rom-coms are getting mixed with fairy tale retellings because it's like, it's just so fun. So Peter and Jasper are part of a huge family. Their parents have 5 kids and then they also adopted a bunch of boys. So the Lost Boys. They're not lost, but they are rambunctious and rowdy and fun. And they're this huge family. And Wendy has stayed very close with the family because she doesn't have a relationship with her own family. And so they have welcomed her into the fold. So even though her and Peter are broken up, and they are, they're broken up, they're just friends. Everyone still thinks of Wendy as Peter's Wendy. Oh. And so Jasper is very much like, she's off limits. And he needs a nanny for Sam because he works full time and Sam, you know, is out for the summer and Wendy is a teacher. And so he's like, will you be Sam's nanny? And she was like, well, you're kind of grumpy and like you live really far away from town and you're kind of like a hermit and you kind of scare me, but like, I need the money. I will be Sam's nanny. And she tells these stories and she makes up these stories about this pirate named Jill. And Jill goes on all these adventures and she brings Sam into it and they play together. And like Wendy telling stories is like a big part of her character.
That's a big part of Peter Pan too.
Right. And so that's a big aspect of it. And she writes, she's a writer and she's been writing all of Jill's adventures. And so slowly Jasper, obviously we all know what's coming here. And so there is like kind of the forbidden thing where like, that's Peter's ex-fiance.
Right.
But it's done in a way like they are very cognizant of it. They try to fight it. But there is obviously some drama there.
Yeah.
But it was just, there's so many fun Easter eggs. Like obviously Never Harbor is Neverland.
Yeah.
He has the scar. He has a watch that one of the best friend that died. He has a watch and it has a cracked face on it.
Oh, like the tick tick. The tick tick.
The tick tock cracks. Peter runs a bar, like I said, and his bar manager is this very short, feisty girl named Isabel, and he calls her Bells.
Oh my gosh. Like Tinkerbell.
Like Tinkerbell, and she doesn't like Wendy in this book. I swear she's going to get her own book. So there's some reason behind it, but just like Tinkerbell doesn't like Wendy.
Yeah, totally.
But her name's Isabel. So it's little stuff like that where it's like, oh, I see what you did there. There's like a Skull's Rock that Jasper takes Wendy to. They go sailing and they go to Skull Rock, which is in the book. Oh, Peter only comes and visits her through her window. He climbs up on this tree and climbs through her window and he's like, hey, Wendy. And they're still very close. And you see her grapple with that about maybe setting some boundaries with Peter and maybe kind of moving forward and not needing
to be.
That's
giving like Dawson's Creek.
Very Dawson's Creek.
Oh God, so Dawson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very like, that's my brother. And Wendy is scared because she doesn't want to lose his family because she doesn't have her own family. And
so, she doesn't. Yeah.
I can't be with you because obviously you're going to choose your family because that's your family. And then where's that going to leave me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're not going to kick Jasper out of the family. It's going to be her. And so I just finished it last night and it was so good. And Jasper is very, of course, grumpy, but then that translates to like very possessive alpha, you know. He is obsessed with her and it is a slower burn, which I felt was appropriate given the situation that we are in.
Setting,
But then like when you get there, the spice is good. Like it's good. It's not, again, we're not talking about Unravel Me.
No, but that's, it's appropriate for the book.
It's appropriate. Like there is steam and it's kind of naughty because they're not really supposed to be together and a nobody little knows.
Forbidden. Love
a little
it.
Forbidden.
Yes.
And they like sneak off. Everyone goes cliff diving and he's like, I gotta get something out of the car. And she's like, yeah, no, I told him I would go with him. I don't know. And then they like run off in their bathing suits and just are like making out against a tree. And it's just
so fun.
It's so fun. And it's going to be a series and it's going to follow. There's like three other brothers and an 18-year-old girl who I'm sure they'll do her last.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Izzy/Bells is going to get her own book. Okay. I guarantee you. And there's the second one's already out, I think. So I'm going to go download it. It's one of the other brothers.
Okay.
Okay. So say, who does that follow?
His name is Cass. I don't know what she's going to do. Like, I don't think she's going to continue with the Peter Pan, obviously, because
we've kind of covered all
Cass
those
is not, but I think it's going to be maybe some more like, from what I read, it was
wait
be,
are Peter and Bells related?
No.
Do we think that's where that's going?
Yeah.
And that's why she doesn't like Wendy.
And her and Peter have a very close relationship. I mean, they run the bar together, Peter and Bells, Izzy. And so I think there's gonna be something there. So I'm very excited about that.
Totally.
So I think it might be more, not forbidden romances, but you know, but forbidden in like the best friend's brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
That kind of forbidden where it's like, we shouldn't.
But like what?
But we
yes.
And we want to.
Should we?
So I highly recommend it. That's Off the Hook by Julie Olivia. It is one of the most unique rom-coms I've ever read. Book one in her Never Harbor series. And I already cannot wait to read book two. And you guys need to read it. It's like the perfect thing for summer. It's so yes. fun. And there's that whimsical aspect of it because yeah, it's the Peter Pan retelling that yeah. you feel kind of like, oh, I feel like a little kid again. But it's,
yes.
But then you don't. So.
But then you don't.
But like, make it adult.
Love that, Kim. Yeah,
it's so fun. Love that. Highly recommend. I think you guys would really like it too.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
I've gotten like okay, so that one, and then Christina's like
yeah.
I have one more too.
Oh, you have one more. Okay. Sorry.
Oh. Christina.
Okay, so speaking of great for summer.
Okay.
I have what I would say is one of my new favorite and maybe the most non-traditional college sports romances I have ever read. Oh. I have never read a sports romance with either of these sports.
Okay.
What? This is called Burnout by Rebecca Jenshack.
Okay.
Okay.
As we're recording this came out last week.
Okay.
You've hopped on it.
I finished this in like 3 sittings.
Wow.
Guys, when I tell you this works for me on so many levels, I have been dying to tell you about this. Like, you know when you just binge a book and all you can think about is those characters?
Yeah.
And like really 2 weeks from now, I might be like, wait, what happened? But right now it's like, I'm just living. I totally. Can't stop talking about it. So first of all, the reason this is very fun and unique and refreshing.
Uh-huh.
He is a motocross athlete.
And
she is like an Olympic gymnast.
I love that. We've never read that before.
So it's not, I thought you said it was hockey. Okay, so it's not hockey.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's college sports. Yeah.
It's sports.
Oh, okay.
It's sports
okay.
ball, baby.
It's sports ball. Ball. There's no balls involved. It's just sports.
Right, just the sports.
His balls. Okay, no.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Okay, so
okay.
I'm going to read you this quick little synopsis.
Okay,
love it.
That I wrote, actually.
Oh my God, read it.
Avery is a decorated Olympic gymnast battling to reclaim her glory after a crippling injury. Mm. And Knox is a tattooed motocross star desperate for redemption after his bad boy antics cost him his team. When Knox seeks out Avery's expertise to enhance his agility, before they know it, their intense rivalry turns into fiery chemistry.
Nice.
Okay, guys, let me tell you why you're gonna love this.
Tell me.
I am obsessed with it. So Knox is literally our definition
uh-huh.
of uh-huh. like tattooed bad boy cocky guy uh-huh, where like uh-huh, on uh-huh. the inside he is just the sweetest angel boy, fresh pot, adorable human.
We love to see it.
Never did I ever think that motocross was gonna be something I found so hot. Guys, when I tell you,
yeah.
there are moments where I just never even thought about it as a sport. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
what? Show me.
Yeah.
Tell me, Rebecca. Show me what we could do here.
Yeah.
And she did. And there are moments where, okay, he like finishes a race, right? And uh-huh. everyone's like, oh my God. Everyone's like cheering and whatever. All yeah, these girls yeah. are running up to him, whatever.
There's the groupies.
Yeah.
The finish line, whatever. And he just comes out and gets off his bike and takes his helmet off. And he's just like going straight to her. It's like,
oh,
it's so
hot.
I am telling you, the first time they hook up is on his bike because he's like, I have to go. Like,
hot.
If I don't leave, hot. I'm going to like, you know, something, whatever.
Yeah.
And she just comes and sits in front of him on the bike. And she's like, what if I want you to?
Oh.
And he, guys... I am telling you, it is hot. It is hot.
Hot.
I am loving this. The whole motocross thing. So, okay, pretty much he gets kicked off his team because there's an asshole guy on his team and he like,
okay,
pretty much the asshole guy like goads him and he like pushes him in front of the media and the guy who owns the team is like, I can't keep you now. Like
yeah,
he
yeah,
pushes
yeah.
him in front of the media. So then he has this other friend who happens to be Avery's roommate's boyfriend who's like,
love it.
I do freestyle. You should do this freestyle motocross with me. And he's like, well, I need to work on my agility. Whatever. He's like, oh, work with Avery. She's great. So Avery is like this. So Avery's in college.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's an Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
And getting right. to read about the gymnastics was so cool.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Like her training and also her meets and everything, like
yeah.
the beam and her floor routine, like the differences and like the specifics and getting to see, I feel like the trainingness that happens is common in our sports romances where mm-hmm. one of them is train the other one.
Sure.
Having her train him in gymnastics of being like, hold that handstand longer. And then he like is like, okay, and takes his shirt off and does like a shirtless handstand. She's like, oh. She's like so distracted by it. It's so
it's
hot.
Like icebreakers. It's yes. like icebreakers.
It is, but gymnastics.
But gymnastics.
It's so hot and fun.
Oh,
and like she
my
has
God.
This little girl, Hope, that she teaches gymnastics, and Hope is so cute and also obsessed with Knox.
Oh.
And it's adorable and their little dynamic is adorable. And okay, so Avery's amazing. It's really interesting to see her battle this injury and be like, mm-hmm. I don't want people to think that it was a fluke that I won those medals. But she's so in her head that she literally like freaks herself out when she's dismounting. She freaks herself out on the floor. Yeah. And so he like helps her through that. And it's so adorable. And then like he is this incredible. One of my favorite parts of this book was him, because we find out that he dropped out of school. So pretty much his mom passed away.
Okay.
And then his dad left them. And he is one of five brothers. There's an older brother, and then there's him and three younger brothers. And he dropped out of school and was like, well, now I just have to raise my brothers. And he's the legal guardian of his youngest brother, Flynn. And just seeing their dynamic of that family is so fun to read. I can't even tell you how amazing the dynamic of those brothers is to read. It's beautiful and fun and like amazing. And they all come together and like go to Flynn's basketball game because he's the one that's still in high school. He's just like, oh no, sorry, you have to come back with me. Like, I have to go home for something. And it's like to cook Flynn dinner because everyone else is out and has stuff to do.
Right.
It's like, he's the sweetest. And when then one of their brothers is deaf, like legally deaf, but he can read lips really well and he has hearing aids. But anytime they're having an important conversation, they all just immediately start signing without thinking about it. And the way it's written is it's just in italics when they're signing. It's so beautiful.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Like, if we're saying silly things, it's fine. But anytime anyone says anything important and he's in the room, it's like italics that they're all signing it as they're speaking.
Oh my God, I love this.
It's That's so sweet. Amazing. So apparently she has another series called Campus Wallflower, and his older brother, Hendrik, is the lead in one of those books, and this is a spinoff. I had no idea, so I'm so excited to read that book.
Can't wait.
And my little romance brain was on it. They like come in the house and Hendrik's there with his girlfriend, and he's like calling her a silly nickname, and they're very established, and I was like, this feels like we should know them. I should have known them from a previous book, but this is book one. How interesting.
How interesting.
And I was not wrong.
And you were
I just love them so much. It's fun. There's spiciness. These two sports, getting to see them actually like detailed and talked about in such cool ways was it felt like this unique, refreshing, different sports romance.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I just feel like I haven't read about either of these. So seeing them together and like helping each other through it. He's very like, no, I'm like cocky bad boy. Like, I don't care about things. And I wear all black. And she is like, wears pink bubblegum princess. And there's a thing where like, he like fixes up this pink bike for her so he can teach her how to ride.
Loved it.
I am head over heels for it. I can't stop thinking about it. I absolutely loved it.
I know. I need to read this.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I highly recommend. It was such a fun sports romance. And perfect. Like, fast and sweet. It was adorable and romantic and like spicy. I loved it. So yeah, is Burnout by Rebecca Ginshack.
Oh, guys.
I'm excited.
We have got some good recommendations tonight.
We do.
I'm kind of like upset that we need to go read Heat, because all I want to do is now go read these books that y'all have talked about. And I'm like, damn it.
Damn it.
Not damn it because we're liking it, but I'll just like.
Oh, No, we are. I just now I'm like, oh no, I want to go pick up a hockey. I feel like I'm leaving my cowboy romance era.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm ready to go into back to my sports like summer romance era.
Yes. Oh, I know. Summer and like sports romances are just.
I know. And there's like some new books coming out from like new authors this summer. Yes, I've got a few down, like pinged, like saved, like remind myself to download. So I will, listeners, when those come out, if those are good, I will share them with you.
Yeah, share with the class.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's it, you guys. This was so much fun. I hope you guys got some good recommendations. We've got just all over the board here tonight. So
truly
a spice for every slice of life.
Truly.
Yes. So please let us know if you read any of these and if you want us to do book chats, maybe on Patreon or something, we can do that. Our Patreon will be linked in our show notes as always. And make sure you're following us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers, listeners.
Bye.